Hello everyone and welcome to the latest episode of Sustaining Sustainability podcast series presented by EVA India Insights podcast. I'm Pallavi, your host for today. On this World Environment Day, we're focusing on land restoration, desertification and drought resilience. In this episode, we will uncover their global and local significance and explore practical steps that individuals and communities can take to preserve and protect our precious planet. Joining us further to facilitate our conversation is Sayuj Tekivariat, a pioneer in sustainable practices and partner at EVA India's Climate Change and Sustainability Services. With nearly two decades of experience, Sayuj holds a commendable track record in providing climate change and sustainability services to global and national corporations as well as multilateral agencies. Sayuj, thank you for joining us in this episode. It's a pleasure to have you with us on this crucial day for global environmental awareness.
Thank you, Pallavi, and I'm happy to be part of this conversation.
Thank you. To start off, Sayuj, could you explain to all our listeners the concepts of land restoration, desertification, and drought resilience, and how they're interconnected to each other?
Yeah, sure. So I guess we are starting with the basics. So Pallavi, as the terminology, you know, suggests, the process of making or probably returning land into a healthy, productive state so that it can improve the overall fertility of the soil, the biodiversity itself, and in turn enhance the land's ability to support life, or for the matter, even provide ecosystem services. So this is, nutshell, this is what I can summarize what land restoration, you know, means. Now, say due to deforestation or overgrazing, or say certain agricultural practices which is not, you know, sustainable, for the matter, even climate change. Now, all of this, you know, can impact the fertility of the land, the productivity of the land, and gradually lead to a scenario where, you know, the vegetation is totally lost. This is what is desertification in general. The third thing you spoke about or asked me was on drought resilience. Now, I think it simply refers to the ability at large to withstand and recover from drought conditions, or say minimize the negative impact. So this is what these three terminologies, you know, we spoke about. And I think you are also asking me the interconnectedness between all of this. So simply put, it's straightforward. Restoring degraded land means we can reverse the process of desertification. Similarly, if you look at improving drought resilience, that is nothing but helping you mitigate the risk of desertification. So, you know, that is how all of this are interlinked and definitely adding to each other.
Thank you, Sayuj. Moving on, how do humans' activities contribute to desertification, and what can be done to mitigate these effects?
Well, no, I think human activity, if you ask me, contributes to a very large extent to desertification or land degradation itself, if not complete desertification. Say, for example, you know, let's look at some examples for this to better explain. Say, clearing of forest. It could be for agricultural purposes or, you know, fuel wood purposes, or say look at overgrazing by livestock. Now, all of this can lead to soil erosion, reduced soil fertility, you know, disrupt the natural ecosystem itself. Similarly, let's look at, you know, certain unsustainable agricultural practices. When I say unsustainable, I mean it could be, say, monocropping. It could be excessive tillage, improper irrigation, use of chemical fertilizers and pesticides. Again, all of this is accelerating degradation of soil quality and reduce water retention capacity. Now, since, you know, since I'm talking about water retention, and water, you know, is a big issue and topic itself, over extraction of water from an aquifer, a river, or lake, it could be for irrigation, it could be for domestic purposes, or say even for industrial purposes. When you have over exploitation or over extraction of water, this is nothing but depletion of the water resource, your groundwater table, and this also in turn adds to the larger drought conditions, which I'm again linking back to land degradation itself. And so is the example of, say, development. When I say development, I mean expansion of urban areas, construction of roads, dams, or other infra projects. Now, all of this could have an impact in terms of, disrupting the natural drainage pattern, what you see, increase, say, surface runoffs, accelerate, again, the soil erosion and so on and so forth. So all of this is going to contribute in a negative manner to the land degradation itself. See, having said this, the idea is not that, are we saying that agriculture or urbanization or infrastructure, etc., should not be done? Absolutely no. I mean, that is not the intention here. The whole idea is that how do we ensure that there is minimal or say no negative impact, and how do we mitigate them? Now, if I look at, say, I just spoke about three, four examples earlier. If I look at the same examples, now we are talking about, say, agriculture. Can't we look at a sustainable agriculture practice? Say techniques like agroforestry, rotational grazing, or say, using water efficient irrigation system. This is not only going to conserve your water or, better, productivity from the agriculture itself, but it's also going to reduce the risk of desertification. Similarly, if I'm looking at, say, conserving forest, say it could be reforestation, say sustainable logging practices, or even for the matter, community-based forest management. So all of this is going to prevent or controlled manner, I would say, cutting of forest or vegetation. And this is also going to in turn mitigate or help reduce the risk of, soil erosion and then leading to the same cycle of degradation and so on and so forth. Similarly, water technologies. Now, there are, technologies like water harvesting and recycling, improve water management practices in agriculture and so on and so forth, also going to help reduce the entire degradation itself. See, over and above all of this, if you ask me, Pallavi, what is important is also to educate communities, your policymakers, I would say the larger stakeholders itself. When I say educate about the cause and consequence of desertification or land degradation, and also build capacity or, help them with practices, say sustainable land management practices or climate smart agriculture practices, so that it is in turn, helping in, enhancing the resilience towards desertification. I think that is the kind of, approach we should be looking at.
Thank you, Sayush, for those excellent insights. Now, pivoting towards land restoration, according to you, what role does land restoration play in tackling the issue of climate change?
Okay, an interesting question, linking to climate change, Pallavi. So, again, let's get to basics. Now, what is the basic concept? Your trees and vegetation at large, what do? They absorb carbon dioxide from the atmosphere during photosynthesis. And that is in turn stored in the biomass and the soil. Now, when you talk about increased vegetation or increase, land covered with green cover and restoring degraded soil, what are we doing? That means we are contributing to removing carbon dioxide from the atmosphere, helping to mitigate climate change, because, carbon dioxide is one of the gases which is, contributing or adding to climate change. Similarly, let's look at land degradation. Now, what happens when you're talking about deforestation or soil erosion? It's basically releasing stored carbon into the atmosphere in the form of not just carbon dioxide, but also other GHG or the greenhouse gases. Now, by restoring degraded land and preventing further degradation also helps mitigate GHG emissions itself. And again, adding back to helping mitigate climate change at large. Now, if you look at a healthy forest or a grassland or a wetland, now all of this provides ecosystem services. Now, what do you mean ecosystem services? It could be, say, regulating water flow. It could be stabilizing the soil. It could be buffering against certain natural disasters. So a restored ecosystem are more resilient to the impacts of climate change, such as extreme weather, or drought and floods and so on. See, overall, if you ask me, land restoration plays a crucial role in addressing climate change. It can be, say, in terms of sequestering carbon, or it could be mitigating the greenhouse gas emission itself, conserving biodiversity, improving the larger water resource and water management, and supporting communities to adapt and, you know, and a better livelihood itself. Now, an integrated approach that combines land restoration with climate change mitigation and adaptation strategies, if you ask me, are essential for building a sustainable and resilient future, both for the people as well as the planet.
Thank you, Sayuj. Our final question to you is, in what ways can technology and innovation be harnessed to address the challenges of desertification and drought?
Well, so I think, you know, technology is definitely going to help across all the fields, all the sectors. So let's look at some examples, you know, why I'm saying this. Now, if assume, Pallavi, that tomorrow you are going to get real-time data in terms of, say, a land degradation or a soil cover, say vegetation loss, or say some information in terms of, say, soil moisture content and so on and so forth. Now, if you have real-time data, that's basically, Pallavi, is going to help you better plan, better look at what needs to be done in terms to ensure that you are minimizing the risk out of it. And all of this is not coming from satellite imagery, drones, and other remote sensing technologies. So this is one way directly, you know, it helps you, look at mitigating some of the impacts. Similarly, let's look at, say, again, I'm going back to example of agricultural technologies. Say, looking at a precision farming, drip irrigation, say, you having a drought-resistant crop varieties. Now, all of this, again, is going to help the farmer community adapt to water scarcity and, again, mitigate the impacts of, the drought itself. See, we can look at smart water management technologies. You know, it could be as basic as water recycling, reuse, to say things like desalination, wastewater treatment, and so on and so forth. This is going to better, you know, manage water either for agricultural purposes, or it could be industrial purposes, or for the matter, even urban areas. If you recall, Pallavi, you know, earlier I was speaking about the importance of how we need to educate or, you know, build capacity of larger stakeholders, you know, it could be policymakers or the community at large. If you ask me, digital platforms, say mobile apps or, you know, the social media at large, it can definitely facilitate information sharing, you know, training, collaboration. So this is also a strong tool in terms of spreading awareness and helping, you know, giving information that can be practically used, you know, for betterment of either the livelihood practices itself, or for, you know, something else in terms of the land use being taken care of there. By harnessing the power of technology and innovation, let me say, just not technology, it's technology plus innovation, we can definitely enhance our capacity to address the larger challenge of desertification and drought. Also, probably build resilience to climate change and say create a sustainable and prosperous future for the people, for the planet, and especially I would say better ecosystem services in arid and semi-arid regions. So yeah, technology plays a critical role here as well.
Thank you, Sayuj. I've personally learned a lot. Thank you for sharing all your valuable insights. It reminded us that the health of our planet really relies on our collective efforts. So that brings us to the end of the conversation. Thank you for joining us for this episode.
Thank you so much, Pallavi. And I think it's important that we spoke on a subject which maybe is not spoken, so frequently. And yes, you know, we should have more such conversations in future. Thank you.
Thank you. On that note, thank you to all our listeners. And for more insights and resources on climate action, please head over to our website and follow us on our social media platforms. Let's make Everyday Environment Day. And thank you for tuning in. Goodbye.